And good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to this end of the week session of the Business and Economic Zone. Yes, guys, we are still finishing up, even on this lovely Heroes Day holiday, in terms of getting you the regular programming that you always enjoy. Now, well, guys, I have to make a little bit of a, you know, an admission, because we are ending off tonight anything related to the 4IR and its energy discussion. I don't know why the energy discussion is just not rounding off, but there is so much that gets fed into all this. Last night's brief discussion in terms of that also highlighted the importance of local Namibian creativity, ingenuity, innovation on its own level. And this is with someone that didn't even reach university level, let alone even grade 12. These are the same guys that France had on this earlier this morning on Tech Eagle in terms of, you know, engaging with them. And it's key here because this is a guy that just used his imagination, a sense of creativity. Obviously, for those of us who were a bit handy as children and we used to build those little toy, toy cars made out of wire and pieces of plastic and rubber, he went one step further. Instead of just saying, instead of him just settling for the run-of-the-mill design that you and I know when we used to grow up, he decided to go one step further. Add a little bit of an electricity. Make it electrical. Thus creating an electric toy car itself in Namibia. And also taking it one step further, trying to see whether or not it can be smart in one or other form. And I don't mean smart in terms of it looking good. Smart in the sense of, like, we now understand smart here with regards to the 4IR discussion or the overall 4IR discussion. But that was one aspect onto it. Another key aspect, and this is actually that is now the one of the biggest challenges for our tertiary institutions here in our country, is something that came from the professor who hosted this demonstration. I think his name is Professor Sutinen, if I'm correct. But this professor, an academic himself, pointed out an important role that universities have to play. Remember, we're talking about a Finnish academic who comes from a academic society or a country like Finland itself, who has reinvented the word education. The Finnish education system, guys, I'm actually impressed with it. I'm actually impressed with it because even India, which just like China has one of the most competitive education systems in the world, is systematically adopting the Finnish education system. Even though it is currently being explored in private schools in India, it has impressed. Remember, guys, India, just like China, just like South Korea, are one of the new emerging industries or markets with regards to fourth industrial revolution, tech jobs, tech companies, tech industries, tech sectors, you name it, anything to do with that. Because India itself, although I'm slightly bragging about them, but India itself is a country that has a rich sense of academic achievements in terms of their universities. I mean, 1 billion people, obviously. If you just had to imagine 1 billion people in a country, that means you will have a lot of competition education-wise, and then ultimately also labor and industry and economic and even way of life. Even though the Namibian dollar is a bit stronger than the rupee, the Indian rupee, they export a whole lot more. They manufacture a whole lot more. And this has been something that they had to internalize themselves.
Kukurugana yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika nompito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako uwera o HIV. Ayo kupoperan tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninka wakurugane ya wamba. Moktura mwe hundiro liyeyo wamba zuma okoko, di mwagwana kuma pukuro gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndi dingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from that short break right there that crept up on me, it's key to factor in this next discussion, guys. The professor at that smart toy demonstration itself noted one important thing, and this is an important burden. This will be a burden for universities in our country, tertiary institutions itself. This will no longer just be about an aspect of, trying to skill up as many Namibian teenagers who are now exiting from high school, trying to get or build themselves up into a career phase. These universities themselves, our three universities, currently we have three. I don't know how far the other private ones will come. I won't mention their names as yet because we still have to sort of like see them, unveil themselves and weigh in, and for them to wade into the Namibian higher education sector and industry. But the key thing that we've got to look at here is that the way we see our three big universities currently is that they will need themselves to invest intensively. Most probably, this will most probably be an intense investment on their side into, firstly, research and development, like I mentioned back on Monday and Tuesday. Innovation. I mean, even the Pro-Vice-Chancellor of UNAM, Professor Anicia Peters, noted that they realize that just relying on skilling up students, learners from the high school level, just on the STEM or the STEAM fields, was not just sufficient enough, because that was in a way creating one other deficiency. From what I heard from a presentation with Head of State President Geingob, was that there was going to be one other gap or deficiency being created somewhere in the education system. And remember, this is not just in the higher education system. This is also primary, like I mentioned, secondary. Because you've got to upskill it from there. And that's also where I feel I feel very sorry for Ministry of Basic Education. Because they just 2 years back, just a year and a half back, they changed the whole education system from the first grade when a child has to enter the school system to the last grade where the child has to exit the school system. The unfortunate thing, they now have to revamp that. Another burden would then be placed on that ministry alone in terms of where they will have to upskill the teachers on our school systems. So here's the thing. Even though the IMF, World Bank, them love telling developing countries like ourselves that we need, that we should not invest as much into our education, we will continuously be investing in our education. And I'm not even on our health as yet. Just take a look at our education, because the fourth industrial revolution is dependent upon the skill sets that we will develop, that we will manufacture, that we will train, educate. What else can you still add? Train, educate, and as well as also facilitate in the Namibian economy. Because the thing is, the professor at the demonstration of last night, the Finnish professor, he noted that the responsibility falls on the universities. The second component of that responsibility then becomes that these universities have to continuously learn themselves. One of the panelists at that demonstration said the unfortunate thing is, as a university or as academia, you have to get out of your comfort zone. And unfortunately, so many of us as Namibians, we want to have an extra educational level to us. Like, if you go past the degree, it has to be an honors, and now it has to be a master's, and now it has to be a doctorate. But these are all just about research components. These are not about, let's go research it, develop it, sell the concept. because that's what universities are doing. I gave you guys the example of what happens in South Africa. If you just have to go to Cape Town, just go to Cape Town. If you've never been to Cape Town, the universities in South Africa that have medical schools have a hospital to go practice at. Obviously, our medical schools here in Namibia have been partnered up with the various government medical facilities here. But I'm talking about a university that operates its own hospital. Its own. They don't waste time. They can factor in and employ, as well as also give on-the-job training, as well as also certification, and also give the necessary internship hours. Oh, and I'm not yet on the thing of internship. I read a very wonderful article online from a contribution letter to one of the Namibian dailies, one of the daily newspapers in our country, speaking about internships. But this is in the concept of trying to help with the employment discussion. But we're not there yet. That is still a ways off. Let me first park that bus somewhere else. There, somewhere on a hill. Now, research and development is key, because research and development helps new industries or new products or new ways of systems to be rolled out in a country. Now, remember, guys, I gave you that example on Monday night, that if the environment in an economy is made conducive enough for companies operating already in our economy to be told, listen, we will give you a tax break in one or other form, or a tax exemption in one or other form, if you have a research and development unit, you make use of it. It generates results, which obviously you have to prove that it has been done with researchers in there. But this also means that we have to first get the researchers, researcher depth, researcher width, in terms of almost like product depth and range, product range, which looks at width and depth. It's a similar concept, meaning how many researchers do exist? How many researchers can be full-time employed just for the function of researching? In order for them to generate all this knowledge and data for the Namibian economy. And I gave you the example of the stress testing company that I read about in a book, Think Like a Freak, where this company just exists to test business models. It just exists to test a business theory. It just exists to test a prototype product. That's all it does. And then they will tell the company that came up with the idea, that came up with the product, this thing works or this thing will not work. That's all this company does. This company's aim is to see whether or not a product or an idea will make it. That's all. That is research itself. Hey guys, I've never heard anything easier than that. The next thing in terms of all this is obviously a key mention that this professor that I saw last night mentioned as well. And this backs up Professor Anicia Peters' presentation from Monday to the head of state about the responsibility of our tertiary institutions that will have to carry innovation for all of us, for the country, for all of us. Look, you can have companies that can do R&D. Then you have to also strengthen your tertiary institutions as well. You have to strengthen your tertiary institutions as well. I was pretty impressed from my alma mater, NUST, in terms of like 3 years back, the electrical engineering team there. Even though I've built a go-kart myself, a box cart or box car. Box car is, you guys remember that you just get an old box and you put it on an old skateboard platform with four wheels and then you roll down the street. That's a box car. But the students at NUST went one step further. they made it, they converted it into like a solar powered boxcar. You guys all saw that in the newspapers. That specific vehicle running on solar energy. It recorded one of the, I think it recorded one other record in the country that it could function throughout the country. In terms of just running on clean, green, renewable energy. A novel idea coming from university students. That's the kind of things I'm talking about. That's the kind of things I'm talking about. Creativity, imagination, implementing it, putting it together in a practical example of a prototype or one other thing. They build it themselves. Although the copyright and the intellectual property is owned, because you unfortunately sign that waiver when you enroll at one of our universities, the copyright material, the intellectual property belongs to the university. There's nothing you can do, guys. It's a condition you have to abide by. If you tick no, then you won't be allowed to study. It's as easy as that. The next thing is also, if you see those levels of innovation take place, and you get to something like our energy supply, the unfortunate thing is, we've really and critically got to look at energy supply in our country. I mean, it was mentioned in that presentation to the head of state by the 4IR task force. Namibia's electricity coverage stands at 56%. 56%. That means 44% of the country has not seen electricity or do not have electricity. They don't have electricity. They don't have electricity. Now, electricity, just like modern human medicine or modern medicine, are one of the key, or actually one of the best advances that has been done in modern human history, that has also prolonged the life expectancy of the human population on the planet. This is true, guys. Electricity has improved people's livelihoods. It has also, in a sense, helped or assisted the natural environment to an extent. But we unfortunately still have Namibian communities that rely on firewood. One of the easiest options to go for if we needed energy to be extended to avoid trees being cut down for firewood would have been to try and get a natural gas pipeline running from Kudu Gas or from one of the two oil finds, that were discovered at the beginning of this year. Because like I said, the moment you discover oil, there's an oil deposit and a natural gas deposit. They are not mutually exclusive from each other. The two products always go together. If you want to know how they go together, you just have to watch any documentary where you see a refinery across the world, where you see a oil field. And if you see a flame at the top of that oil rig, either standing at sea or whether it's onshore, on land, and you see a flame that's constantly burning 24 hours, that is as the oil facility, that processing facility, is busy burning off the natural gas because they can't sell it anywhere. Now, that natural gas, guys, could have solved Namibia's energy issue, for example, like if we needed to like provide central heating, perhaps. I do not know how expensive that kind of housing product would have been or how housing project would be. But it would help everyone at least have a warm winter to an extent, let me say that. But then the other danger is also that you would be living in a very explosive and very flammable house. We'll quickly go to a short ad break after this.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, witete umbo no namba no kushi wefaguja, uma intirorongo oturataya academic year 2023, ukapatuluka, ende lirapa ife ulikole paparoe mo education, ukarolongi fikora, ile ukufe o health and social science, osho maifano information and communication technology, o strategic management and leadership, na ataimonika no tourism, osho hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies, adishota demonika. Uerere, otau monika ko website, www.ium.edu.na. Ile utalere po embiroa da IUM, dikulipo pepe, Mwavenduka, mwongu renguru, mwongu ediva, no mwampaye. Utadi Monika, wereru tu hangi kongoji ya venduka, 061, hongoji, ne, natunatu, omaweli hamano, indakomesho, kufetokorori rimonjira, toiko mwona kui wainerao, pamwe na IUM.
Now we come back from that extended break. The important thing here is, guys, just where I ended off was, well, once again, it slightly makes me frustrated and also a little bit saddened, because we sit with all this natural wealth in terms of mineral deposits, but the unfortunate thing is we have to improvise around every corner. I asked the question to the Finnish professor last night, you know, what is the competitive, you know, or what is the level of competition that the entrepreneur, the gentleman that makes the smart toy cars, what's the level of competition he is experiencing? Because a lot of Namibian children are looking at either a, you know, for not established, but conventionally they want a toy from a shop packaged in plastic and fancy, and technically in fancy packaging, that they already see in either their local retail store or at a specific toy store somewhere in a mall. And they want that. And then obviously also factoring in the competition level in terms of where he gets his raw materials to build and construct his toy cars. Now, the professor then answered the question on behalf of the gentleman, the entrepreneur, by saying, I also added in, because Namibia is a country well endowed with all these natural resources, but we are predominantly known as an exporter of these unrefined. And the professor turned it around and he explained it to me nicely. The opportunity now becomes where we will have to look at where we export our products to, these unrefined products to, that we source from the same countries that we export to, in order to get semi-processed products back, in order to add the value addition component. And now I understand also, because sometimes it takes someone else's wisdom, you know, when you have to bounce ideas off someone, to understand to actually expand the bigger picture even further for you. Because if you can export metal sheeting, wiring, stuff like that, in order for you to make a product in Namibia, in order for you to potentially expand operations, people, if local Namibians buy in, demand is generated for you, your business operations can expand, can survive. Then later on, you see yourself expanding throughout the country. Then you start seeing the value addition being sort of like, you know, plowed back into the country. Even though the country exports, for example, let's say exports copper to a specific destination, and Namibia buys from that country where the copper is exported to, we buy the semi-processed product of copper back, meaning wiring. We buy it back into our economy, and then it gets repurposed into the various manufacturing sectors into the broader manufacturing sector, which is pretty basic, as demonstrated by the professor, which was pretty basic in the understanding, which will potentially give us the opportunity to slightly compete with South Africa, Because South Africa is the ones monopolizing most of the manufacturing activity in Southern Africa. In Southern Africa. Now, obviously, we are seeing initiative being taken in Zambia, because Zambia itself, they have to sort of like try and correct, try and improve their economic position. They have to. It is only for their benefit, but they have to. The next thing is obviously, when a country does something like that, takes such proactive initiatives, it potentially can boost trading activity between that country and its neighbors, because the neighbors would just be going like, you know what, we are just waiting for you. That's all. We are just waiting for you. That is all. And then what happens? Increased business activity. Increased business activity. The next part was obviously my discussion with Kanjengo in terms of how we, you know, what's the idea. I know let me be honest, guys. I'm not going to act like a total bimbo and not be realistic. I'm actually someone that's very practical. I'm a realist. I look at the situation and the, you know, what's the reality on the ground, because you cannot go and say, yeah, as Namibia, we want a nuclear reactor. You want a nuclear reactor, but what's the cost implications going to be? Who's going to carry those costs? That thing is very expensive to run. I know. I mean, you just have to go to Europe. That's that super nuclear reactor that they're building in France is a project between four or five countries that had to contribute. You know, like someone, like a stock fell, or you know, like the stock fell scenario, or the concept of the stock fell. I mean, it's countries pooling money together to build one project to benefit everyone. Now, in SADC, we all also form part of a power pool. This power pool is where we actually procure the electricity from Eskom in South Africa. But remember this, Southern Africa is not as big as, is not as small, sorry. Southern Africa is not as small as Western Europe. I'll repeat it again. Southern Africa is not as small as Western Europe. Now, the energy demand, the distance the energy has to travel, that various demands in each country that forms part of Southern Africa's power pool is unique. And get this, as I will always stress, just to make you also understand, we are not resource impoverished like Western Europe. We are not resource impoverished. If you guys have ever read the massive gold deposit that Tanzania has, is it Tanzania or is it Uganda? I think it's Tanzania or Malawi or Uganda. The massive gold deposit that they found there just earlier this year, 3 months back. Just go Google it. And remember, Google is a basic human right, guys. It's no longer a private function. It's a basic human right. It's a company that generated a basic human right. So do not be afraid of Googling. Do not be afraid. The key thing there is all these natural mineral deposits point towards economic prosperity going into the future. Economic prosperity going into the future. The big question now is how to leverage it. The next question is how do we balance the competition that will arise in the near future between the oil finds that we made, the oil discoveries, because remember Chevron is going to come and explore in the same basin, in the same petroleum exploration license range where Shell, as well as also Total, had discovered their two oil finds. Chevron from USA is going to get in here, into the same bracket, in the same, you know, equation, into the same WhatsApp group there. So now these guys are going to be pumping oil. We are going to be developing hydrogen on the one side. And we've got uranium on tap, east and west in our country. I say, you're going to have an oil WhatsApp group who would not know what to do with the excess natural gas. Then we will be generating a social media platform for hydrogen. And lastly, we have three SMSs for uranium. Look at the three energy sources that Namibia will be blessed with. But here's the main thing. Here's the main thing. Leveraging. Leverage. Leverage in the form of not in terms of an advantage over someone else or another country or an economy or market. Leveraging for our benefit. You see, we cannot be driving with petrol cars and diesel cars in the near future. If hydrogen energy is going to be used, is going to be generated in the tons. If uranium energy is right here, nuclear energy is right here. Obviously, it's a cost implication. It's a cost mechanism. For some reason, I don't know what Eskom is busy with Kuberg. I didn't even want to read up on that, but the negative publicity around how poorly maintenance or poor maintenance schedules and poor maintenance work has actually caused the much, oh, listen guys, we are enjoying the lights on here, but the South African electorates towards their politicians are becoming more and more annoyed when they hear that Namibia has lights on tap. They become annoyed. And it doesn't take much, you don't even have to Google search far even. You just have to throw xenophobia into the search bar. South Africa will feature there. South Africa will predominantly feature there. So, we've got to understand, we've also got to look at our own independence in terms of energy supply. And I'm not saying, you know, to bounce off the South Africans anywhere. We will always be dependent on them. But like I said, this is going to become a leveraging discussion. If we're going to run with a 4IR thing as if we are participating in a marathon like Luke at Swartboy, we've really got to be on top of our game. This will then also ultimately mean we will have to do R&D for our own energy sufficiency. I'll say it again. We will have to do research and development that will benefit our own energy demands and efficiency and sufficiency, because we've got to be sufficient to ourselves. Remember, in the principle of marketing, with regards to when you have a product or you're making a product or you're producing a product or manufacturing it, you've got to look at your local market first. They absorb. If you see that there is excess that you've produced, you've got to sell it somewhere. Now, electricity cannot be stored, but the hydrogen energy can be stored. Now, if we're going to run with our own electricity supply and generation, and we're going to do the hydrogen thing, we've also got to get everybody else on this economy, on this continent, in on this game. Let's go for next ad break and we come back after this.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from $345 Namibian per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Speak your mind. while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now we come back, and the World Economic Forum, let me stress this, they themselves realized that Fourth Industrial Revolution will actually influence innovation in electricity or in energy supply. Look, guys, we're already seeing the signs, we're already seeing the physical manifestations or the real-time manifestations of climate change. I mean, just look at this morning, yesterday morning, in terms of the early morning scoop, in terms of where I provided you with the international news items first, where China is looking at a drought, Central Europe is looking at a drought, North America is sitting with the weirdest wet weather or rainy storms themselves. You head into other parts of the world, it's also going to be looking bleak in terms of it's either going to be more wet weather or heading in the opposite direction of extreme heat conditions. Now, as this is manifesting on multiple continents, in multiple countries, clean energy becomes the most obvious direction that has to be adopted. Here's my question, and this is my question to our government, not political leaders, our government. The oil finds are coming at just the wrong time. Just the wrong time. I'll tell you why. Internationally, there is a public relations lobbying group that is indicating they are not going to be part of or do business with international fossil fuel organizations. Because the international fossil fuel organizations have been the ones doing what? Changing the narrative, changing the discussion, causing disruption in sciences, in scientific research with regards to how can we combat climate change, global warming, the various environmental disasters being witnessed. Now, if we're going to have research and development, our research and development will have to be for the good. It should not be for whoever's specific reason. But obviously, I'm just being, what do they call that thing? I'll be obviously looking towards a fantasy instead of realizing what reality will bring up. You know? What I am wishing for will be completely different from what will actually materialize on the ground. And that is another conundrum itself. And I stress this once again. We as Namibia, remember, our government reflects our interests as normal citizens. It just comes at the wrong time to have oil in our country. To be pumping oil in our country. It comes at the wrong... Look, guys, I don't know how you guys feel. But for us as Namibia, and that's why I keep stressing, if we are talking about a clean energy thing, we've gone to COP26, we've gone to the United Nations General Assembly last year. I think we might be going now in September. There's another one coming up. But we went there and we introduced the green energy situation. We went to COP26. We went to Davos, where everyone was telling everyone else, because I didn't have to follow NIPDB nor the presidency's Facebook pages in order to see, you know, what are the business leaders talking about there at Davos. They were talking about, let's look to a greener future. We've really got to change the way financing is financing the fossil fuels. How financing internationally is financing the harmful industries in the world. How financing or global financing is financing the wrong resource extraction sectors in the world. All of them centered around coal, oil, natural gas. There's another one that I missed. There's another one. Oh, and the plastic industry. Our plastic industry is infantile. It is infantile. And there's a company even here in the capital. They make plastic bags and everything. They recycle, two companies actually. They recycle the stuff. The one, they make the product and they also require that they collect their product back in order to recycle it. Because they can't use the South African plastics that you find in the other retail stores, because those South African plastics are made from more, that's according to them, what I know, are made from more harmful chemical compositions into the plastic bag itself, and plus it's printed. The other one has their own recycling scheme going on. But here's the thing about plastic. Plastic has become, as most international NGOs or what do they call it, environmental organizations, most of them have indicated that get rid of single-use plastics in our society. Guys, you just have to look at everything in your living room, in your bathroom, in your kitchen. Plastic has such a versatile use. It has made our lives so much easier. It is so cheap to produce. But the unfortunate thing is, it's just like uranium or nuclear energy. It does not disintegrate or become biodegradable at a fast enough rate. It does not. Look, actually, plastic does not break down. It does not break down easily. It does not break down easily. The worst part is it's the biggest eyesore in pollution in the world's oceans. There's a climate group that I follow on Facebook. You can check it out yourself. They call it the cleanup. Facebook search cleanup. You will find that these guys are actually using fishing trawlers. And they collect not kilograms worth, tons of plastic in the oceans. Tons. And we're not talking about one fishing trawler having to work on its own. No, these guys actually work in clusters. That's how big these pollution islands of plastic are. Yeah. There's plastic that is floating in our oceans. The world's oceans that are as big as countries. Yes, guys. That is how bad the plastic problem has become. Now, the fourth industrial revolution, guys, is not just about finding ways of creating jobs. This is about finding solutions to improve not just the natural environment for us as humans, but also for us to improve it and to have an active role in it and to maintain that level that is safe and that things can still continue on. If you guys haven't known, what I've now just shared with you all actually factors into an exercise. It's a scientific exercise that is being maintained. I think it's in the US or in... No, it's in the US. It's either at Harvard or it's at the at MIT. The Massachusetts Institute of Technology. It's known as the Doomsday Clock. And yes, guys, I'm going to fall into another historic discussion for you into the last 5 minutes. The Doomsday Clock is where these scientists actually calculate how close we as humanity are to creating a total collapse of humanity as we know it. They factor in things like geopolitical circumstances and situations. They factor in humanity's dependence upon fossil fuels. They factor in humanity's influences on the natural environment. They factor in humanity's pollution and waste management, the wastes that we create, the wastes that we are the origin of. They factor in things like the international trade. What are we striving for? Pressurized food systems, pressurized natural ecosystems and habitats, pressurized financial systems. They also look at the scenario of global trade. Then they take a look at the scenario of there's another one, I just had it now. But all these factors that population size of the world. By the end of this year, 2022, humanity will have surpassed or reached the 8 billion people mark. The 8 billion people mark. Now, I told you guys, economics looks at everything. It's a human science. It looks at everything. Just like psychology. Psychology looks at everything in your life. Economics does the same thing. It looks at everything. I'm not an economist. I've just had to read a lot more, include a lot more in knowledge in order to understand the bigger picture out there. The real economists are the guys that we interview here on Eagle FM. The guys like Anjengo, the various economic analysts that we tap into. Like, let me just use that blanket, that umbrella label. That economic analysts, they all provide these aspects. However, we ask specific questions that they answer specifically to. The main thing is that doomsday clock there in the US has actually shifted just 2 weeks back. We are almost, I think, 5 seconds away from total collapse of humanity. Humanity's total collapse. 5 seconds away. I did not read into how they calculate that, but they factor in all the things that I listed to you. All those things, financial systems under stress, geopolitical relations between the various spheres in the world, the trading systems, education systems, humanity's impact on the natural environment, humanity's dependence on the natural environment, humanity's destructive behavior on the natural environment, the various minerals that we depend on and that we extract from the natural environment. All these things is what these guys factor in, these scientists factor into. And the biggest concern will be a fourth industrial revolution. We'll have to be pretty open-minded and pretty, what do they call that thing? Oopkop. They will have to be severely or extremely oopkop. Oopkop. Using that word in English is a bit difficult, eh? But it will be intense. Let me just tell you guys, it'll be intense. Now, as we only have like 20 seconds, 40 seconds left, here's the key thing that we've got to look at, guys, and that we've got to keep in mind. Do not drop into any sense of despair. I might have sounded a little bit more morbid tonight. But this sense of morbidity is what actually provides the reality on the ground for you. You see, we as Namibians have a greater responsibility to look at going ahead. And like I stressed, We have this.
So, jy het dit gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep,
dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie vrek seer nie?
Dit was net so effens seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.
And just to end off on this note before the next program comes on, the important thing that we've got to look at, guys, is let's remember, you know, that there is a bigger responsibility out there. We can't just be happy about the oil nor the green hydrogen discussion, but we've got to factor in this will mean we will have to be a little bit more innovative. Now, on this note, that brings me up to the end of tonight's discussion here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Do enjoy the rest of your evening here in our company, because you just have to stay tuned for the regular broadcasting to continue on after this ad break. And on that note, stay tuned for The Matriarch.